Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 279 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And when we say elderly, we mean over 18 years old. Today, July 25th, 2014, I'm just one of your humble hosts, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on the old Twitter sphere. With us today, we have a less than normal crew. Well, I shouldn't say normal crew, but we're short one today. We got to pour out one for our buddy Jay Shoemaker, who is saddled up with some wisdom teeth pulled. He is recovering nicely, but sadly, mouth filled with cotton and just couldn't talk to us. I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to talk to us either at this point in time. But we do have Nicole Radowski with us.
Hello. How is everybody?
Hello. I think we're good. Yeah. How are you?
I got wine. I'm good.
Wine is good. It helps with headaches, I hear.
I hope so, because...
Or it helps cause headaches. One of the two.
This
I always
does
get a
not...
Confused.
No, this one does not give me a headache.
Just the next day.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So you're doing good, though?
Yes. I'm...
Good.
Yes. I'm not as hot as you are. Wait, that doesn't sound right. Heat-wise, temperature. Screw it. Next!
No, it's going to be an exciting show for us, Nicole, specifically because we've got some special stuff going on in this podcast.
Yes.
Lots and lots of stuff focused around you, my dear. So it'll be fun. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Also with us on the show this week, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello. Mark Alex on Xbox Live, PSN, Steam, and Twitter. How's it going?
Good, good, good. How are you doing, Mark?
Not too bad. I've had a bit of an up and down couple of weeks, but...
Yeah, it's hot out there, isn't it?
Yeah, for us it is, yeah. It's been lovely. About 27 degrees.
Telling you, it's a global warming thing. It's a thing. I suppose we should make mention that Mike Chin is filling in for Jay Shoemaker today, but not really because he's not here. He's out at the pubs. I'd say drinking, but he doesn't drink, so I think he's just babysitting his girlfriend, who's not his fiance or wife yet, but soon to be, from what I understand.
Yeah, let's just blow that out.
I know. I always do it.
You won't let him.
Well, let's talk about video games, because that's what we do on this podcast. We are, after all, a bunch of video game lovers. I was going to say nerds and geeks, but, you know, let's not get derogatory on it. We just like video games. So, well, let's cover all the cursory stuff real fast. I played some Sniper Elite 3. Done. What else other than the main topic that we're going to talk about?
I know, right?
Did you play? Yeah. I have not finished it yet, though. I have not finished it yet. I had gotten to a certain point, and then I got sidetracked by something. Imagine that. Mark, what about you? Anything outside of the minor beta that launched this past week?
I've been playing a lot of FIFA. I picked it up on the PS4 because Defoe's been hassling me and a few others, like Ross and people.
Bronco fan.
Yeah, so I managed to find it online for £30, I think it was. So I've got it on the PS4 now. And set my ultimate team up, but you can't transfer the team from platform to platform.
Ah, okay. So you kind of, yeah, you have unique ultimate teams then, one side and the other?
Yeah, which I didn't know, because my nephew, when he comes up, he plays his 360 team on my Xbox One. But apparently they did a special thing for that, just for FIFA 14, you know, with a new generation.
Right. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, just playing a bit of that. Getting a bit better, improving, getting ready for my rematch with you.
Yes, yes. I need to get to practicing if we're going to have a rematch. We are tied officially 1-1 each. So, and literally, I think one goal apiece, as a matter of fact. So.
Yeah.
It should be a battle. I'll just put it that way. Nicole, what about you?
I played as I called it last week, or a couple of weeks ago, Gotham City some shit. It was Gotham City Imposters, because I couldn't remember Imposters for some reason. That game is actually funny as hell. It was you get to pick your little outfits after you reach a certain level, and we had more fun staring at the guy in his underwear or knickers or whatever you want to call them than
right.
anything else, because he does this little back and forth modeling action, and he's actually in briefs, blue and yellow briefs, and they have pirate pants, they have kilts, all kinds of
okay.
stuff. But we were cracking up at the clothing choices that you had in order to create your own individual character. The game itself was a lot of fun, a little hard to understand because there's so many different things that you can do, roller skates, jumping, hopping around at certain heights and different weapon structures. But overall, we had a blast and giggled our asses off. And I guess guys don't giggle, so they laughed and guffawed.
And guffawed.
Yes, I giggled.
I think I've been accused of giggling from now and then. Yeah, you know, when I think of things like that, I immediately get drawn to Dead Rising and the crazy outfits that you could put on your main character. And one of them happened to be in Dead Rising 3. I think they had it in Dead Rising 2 as well, but it was a god-awful, like, sling bikini. I'll call it a sling bikini, but really it was like a gigantic... like hammock for the guy,
a banana hammock,
but it wasn't the typical banana hammock because it went up over his shoulders, so it really was like a sling.
Oh, like wrestling wear.
Yeah, it was disturbing, and as soon as I threw it on him, I immediately took it off. I just could not look at my character wearing that. It was just yeah. No, ma'am. No, thank you.
David just flashed in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to hell.
It's, yeah, it's not a good image. I'm just saying. Anyway, so yeah, I could see how you'd be giggling and laughing. Yep. Anyway, I digress. All right, well, we're going to talk about the Destiny beta. That's, I think, the biggest thing that has hit gaming this past week, or past 2 weeks even, if you really want to go that back that far. We all have played the beta on different platforms, as a matter of fact,
yep.
I believe. I don't know, Mark, if you've played it on multiple platforms now or just the one?
No, I've played it on both.
Okay. You say both. Are you talking Xbox One and PS4? Or?
Yeah, current gen, not retro stuff.
Gotcha.
Hey, leave my retro stuff alone.
Well, before we dive into that, we did have a speak pipe that got sent into us by Mr. Parsnip Nose, or we also affectionately know him as Dory in the Game Age. And I suppose we should play that right now, if we could.
Yep. Hello, this is a talking parsnip. I have a question. Guys, girls, and Shinyverse. Ha ha, the old ones are the best. Anyway, so I have a question about Destiny. I am not convinced. I might be the only person in the entire universe that isn't convinced. Well, me and Gandhi or somebody, but he's dead anyway. So, yes, I'm not convinced by Destiny. Our co-op teams are going to be about 3 people, which seems a little bit small and not really that great as far as a community goes. So that leaves us enjoying the multiplayer side of things, which, from what I gather, is going to be 8 versus 8. I'm wondering if you guys know anything about how that's going to work, what it's going to include, how you see that working for us as a community, because certainly firepower groups of, I mean, fire teams of 3 people, that's not going to work. It's just not big enough. We need a co-op game that we can have 8 or 10 of us all co-oping the same poor little desperate weedy monster. We can pummel him to death. Yeah, anyway, so how do you see this working? Is it just going to be PvP or what? Tell me more. Convince me.
All right. Interesting points you raise.
Yep.
I did make a concentrated or an effort to get into multiplayer today because I hadn't actually played the multiplayer at all through the beta yet. But I did dive into it. But, you know, just to specifically to address his concerns over this, and then we can dive into all of our impressions on this. And Mark, maybe you can help me out. You've been playing this a little longer. You might have explored this a little bit further, or certainly, Nicole, if you know. But I do believe you are limited in terms of single-player missions to a co-op team of three.
Yeah, it's a fire team of three. Yeah.
Right, fire team of three.
Other fire teams. But I don't think you've got any control over that.
Right, right. You don't have control over who's in that area with you. It kind of loads in how it loads in. In terms of the multiplayer, I believe you can take a party of up to eight, or is it six? Is it 6v6? Or?
I thought it was six.
Okay, so it very well could be. So it's eight or six, and probably six, into a multiplayer match. I'm not aware of any way to do a private match.
No.
Me either.
Yeah, so this does kind of lend a little credence to his comments around this being a tougher game for larger communities, but I still think with the six-player teams, at least you could get some good experiences in with friends, you know, get six together. You know, certainly you're probably going to be able to find six friends with this game easily enough and be able to dive into multiplayer. Now, whether you like the multiplayer or not, that's a different story, and then certainly that's something we can talk about. But, I don't think this is going to be a Halo-like multiplayer kind of fun experience in that regard. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't get that feeling.
I'm with you.
Yes, Mark?
I've had one go on the multiplayer, and I didn't like it at all. It felt like Call of Duty to me, because I was just getting shot from nowhere and dying all the time, and I hardly got any kills, and it felt frustrating. That's probably me being rubbish. But I was first impressions.
Now, to be fair, Mark, I had the exact same experience. Yeah. So
first impressions of Titanfall was similar, but I didn't feel like I didn't want to play it. I wanted to play it more. But this, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I admit, I was instantly turned off to the multiplayer, for sure. One of my big concerns with the multiplayer side of this game, and it's not, I'm not trying to, you know, throw water on the fire over this game being good or not at all. But from the multiplayer standpoint, one of my big concerns is how this game is structured in terms of your characters, because you're building your characters through single player and through co-op play stuff, and you're gaining a lot of specialized equipment and upgraded equipment and things that, you know, you find or you get rewarded. And when I went into the multiplayer match, not only did I feel that the multiplayer experience itself wasn't as good as other multiplayer experiences I've been in, but I also felt a little bit overmatched in terms of the weapons I had versus the weapons that other people had. And I'm not convinced that there's going to be a good balancing of that. So I fear that from a multiplayer standpoint, I'm going to be walking into a lot of matches where, say, I have a, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, my gun does level damage 28. Somebody's in there with a gun that does level damage 72. You know, I get off a few shots, and I'm able to, you know, barely damage them. They get off one shot, and I'm dead.
I like using the scout rifle. It's a single-shot rifle, not a burst fire. Mm-hmm. But it does a lot of damage. And it's great in single player, but you take that into multiplayer, you've no chance. Because they go off the rapid fire.
Yeah.
That's what I used the other day. Same when I went into multiplayer and I got annihilated.
Yeah. It is interesting. I don't know, Nicole, did you feel like the mechanics, at least, of the multiplayer felt very Halo-like? Or did you feel like they were more Call of Duty, or...
I don't know which one I don't know. It was very comfortable, whatever it was.
Right.
Because the only thing I didn't get was the stupid D-pad thing. I kept making myself slide around or dance or whatever by accident because I would hit that. So I look like an idiot. These people are like waving back and I'm like, stop waving at me. It was an accident. But I don't know. I like, I can't figure out quite how to fit to that third gun, but I know that you can switch from the top two guns because I have a machine gun also that I can use, but
right.
It's only come up one time that I could use it, and then I put it away, and I was like, damn it, now I can't get it back. So,
yeah, so the Y button.
Yeah, you have to hold it.
Oh, hold.
Yeah, hold it down, yeah. If you just tap it, it'll switch between your two primary.
Okay.
But if you hold it, it'll go to your secondary or your, I forgot what they call it. Basically,
primary
your rocket launcher.
And, yeah, right. Second, and then your
special weapon, I think.
Yeah, your special weapon,
apples
exactly.
Apples a lot more rare. The ammo's are purple boxes the drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more rare to find.
So really?
Yep.
Find
all
got...
I ever have is purple boxes. I can't ever find the green and the white.
Oh, you're looking.
Yeah, no kidding.
Y'all should just come play with me. All the purple boxes you could want. Look, I don't need that crap.
Well, so multiplayer not winning us over so far.
Nope.
I think that's fair to say.
No.
But let's talk about the game. You know, let's talk about our other experiences with it, because I think there's some positives to be taken away from this game. Nicole, what have your impressions been?
It took 6 hours to download the beta, God help me. And then I played. Oh, this is so bad. I ended up playing for 6 hours after. I just got hooked. I like building my own character because it's always been one of my things. I want it to be as individual as I am. So I liked building my own character, and then I just went in and did all the little missions and went through the whole Earth thing. It took me playing with Kim and Mike to figure out that I can actually stash stuff away in a vault. I fell down a cliff, and that's how I found one of the loot boxes, which I love doing the looting because that reminds me of Borderlands. The scenery is absolutely fantastic. And so I love it. Graphically and with it has a lot of the good elements from a lot of good games that I like. So I do like that aspect. It pisses me off that it can only be me and two people playing. And we even tried where Kim and Mike and Gary went ahead of me, and then I followed. We went to the same area, the same map, but
right.
We got spawned all the way clear across the other side of the map, and I could never find them and meet up with them, ever.
Okay.
So, be on the same server as them.
I don't know.
Different servers all the time, so
yeah.
You might even be on the same server. So if you went to the same location at the same time, you might never ever see them.
Oh, yeah. So that, because we wanted to be able to, if we couldn't be on the same team, because it was only three, at least try and experience it together. So obviously that's an out. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Like defiance in that view.
It is so curious that the number three, that I just don't understand.
Me either.
It's such an odd number. And maybe their research on the back end told them that most people are, you know, co-oping with three people, but. It would have really been nice to be able to go up to four,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
At least.
But I like the idea of six, because like you said, with Titanfall, we do six, and we do good with six.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm good with that, but still, the idea, like you say, of three is just, I'm having a hard time grasping that concept. Three just isn't enough people.
From a positive standpoint, Nicole, I totally agree with you. I think the game looks gorgeous. I love some of the touches, like when I downloaded the beta and you get the opening kind of little cutscenes that they did.
That one where they land on Mars. That.
Yes. Yeah. When they're in the spacers and stuff.
At first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It looked really good.
It did, even on my antiquated system.
Well, and that's one of the things that's a positive, and I'm sure some will look at it as a negative. It's a cross-generational game. Don't make any mistakes about it. So I'm sure that they have decided to develop this game and design it in a way that benefits, quite frankly, the PS3 and the 360 versions, you know, and some certainly could make an argument that it potentially is holding back the next-gen versions, but it from everything I've seen, the experience is pretty much identical from one game to the other. It's just a level of graphical fidelity, you know, might be missing on the 360 or PS3 version versus the PS4, Xbox One. And when I say graphical fidelity, I'm talking about like, you know, you're looking at the landscape and you'll see the wind gust up and you'll see dust and particles fly across the screen and the trees move and some of the cloth will move. Whereas in the 360 version, that'll be downplayed a lot more. You won't see nearly as much of the environmental effects. But all of the assets are there, and it looks, it really does look really good. You have to do kind of a double take in a lot of ways to spot the differences. I believe the last gen versions, the 360 PS3 versions, are at 720p. So, you know, they're outputting at a pretty good resolution for those machines. So, you know, I think they've hit a home run in that department for this game. I like the single player co-op play, and I love the loot gathering. I think they were very smart, and this is one of those areas where I look at, say, like Titanfall, and I look at Destiny, and I figure out what, you know, where I think Destiny has done some really smart things, and where Titanfall made some missteps. And Destiny has really the MMO part of this game is its hook. It's what's going to keep this thing going, and that is the loot gathering, the upgrading of your character, the customization of your character, the finding rare artifacts and rare weapons. I honestly don't think the story is going to amount to much, because quite honestly, so far, everything I've heard within the quote-unquote story, I don't know. I hear him talking about stuff, and you get your orders to go off and search for this and that, but ultimately, I don't know. And maybe it's just me, but Mark, I don't feel like the story is terribly deep or that I'm being sucked into some grand story. I just feel like these are kind of MMO missions to go off and do stuff.
Yeah.
And Mark, I'm going to stop you real quick. You're super low on your volume. So I don't know if...
Is that better?
Yeah.
Much better.
I tried lowering my sound so I didn't get the echo. But it must have been my output. Mr. Chin didn't tell me that one. It's all right, I'll start again. So, the story, I think it's quite good. They've actually got the story there. When you start, this isn't a spoiler, I don't suppose. You wake up from being dead 100 years. So, I'd like to know why, and why he's brought you back and everything.
Right.
I want to know more about the Traveller, which is that big ball thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it can be interesting. It just depends how they tell it.
Yeah, and maybe that's where I'm getting a little lost with it, because, you know, this game to me is Guild Wars space. So Guild Wars 2 is very much like this. It's an MMO. It's got a story to it. It has single-player instances. You get loot. You build your character up. You can co-op with other people, and or you can go off and play it on your own. And there is a story to it, but I don't feel like the story necessarily really is front and center or all that important to the experience of Destiny. I mean, honestly, I you know, there's kind of the overarching story of bad shit happened to Earth. This Traveler thing came to Earth and kind of saved this small, you know, city area that we now call home as humans. I was reborn by this Guilty Spark-esque ripoff, which, by the way, Bungie, come on, really? Because that's what these little ghost things are. But anyway, so from there, I'm fighting the enemy. And I don't know how that story is, if it's really going to unfold in a meaningful way, or if it's just going to be fluff to get me to go off and collect more things and kill more things. And that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's a bit unfair to sort of like get into the story when it's just a beta or even the alpha.
Agreed.
I mean, I agree with you, and and I'm not.
I think
I
you
do
look,
agree with you.
You wanted more meat ahead of time, is basically what it is. Something to sink your teeth into and say, yeah, okay, I could see myself getting into this further. But you just get like more like a little palate
well,
wash.
I think really, and that's probably because it is a beta. And Nicole, you raise a good point. It's like it presents the single player stuff front and center. It's the first thing you're doing. It makes it feel like it is highly important to this experience. But ultimately, I as I've played it, I've come to the realization I think the single player story is actually going to be very, very secondary to the overall experience. This is going to be about building your character, about exploring, and the story may never end. Because if you really think about it, they say they want to support this game for 10 years. They can't give an ending to that story anytime soon.
No.
God, I hope it is.
So you guys didn't play the alpha, did you?
No.
No.
All right, so the big differences between the alpha and the beta are, to me, obviously you can level up higher, and there's more unlocks. Do you know your equipment you can get, which the different colours, depending on the quality of the gear, like the green ones are uncommon. Obviously you get legendary in that, but we haven't got that far yet in the game. Well, you could get green ones in the alpha, but that was it. But I've noticed on this one, on the beta, you can actually upgrade these pieces of kit. But you can level up each individual bit of kit as well as yourself. So I think that adds a massive extra dynamic and an extra layer to it.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest draw is the loot part of it,
yeah.
And the upgrading and the character building. So, and again, that's why anybody who says this is not an MMO, just stop.
Yeah.
Check yourself at the door. And then come back in and just acknowledge it's an MMO.
It's
not a bad thing.
Small multiplayer online.
Yeah, because it does not have that massive part of it.
No.
Even though they present it that way, and you know, I know I'm being a bit of, you know, I'm being a bit negative because there are a lot of things within the beta that have revealed themselves that I'm not crazy about. But at the end of the day, I do really like this game. I will still be getting it. I'm going to play the heck out of it, enjoy it.
And by the sound of it, you know, like at the moment, your initial ship, that's just for being in orbit around the Earth. To get to the different star systems, you're going to have to upgrade and get a better ship to travel further.
Right.
And which is going to unlock more star systems. So this could potentially be a huge game. And I can see myself playing this for months, if not years.
Well, I mean, Bungie certainly wants us to play for years. I know that. And you're totally right. I mean, that is, you can clearly see the upgrade path is unlocking additional systems that you will travel to. And, you know, by traveling to it, you'll have to upgrade your ship to XYZ level to be able to get there. But that's, kind of another disappointment to me in that they have these cool ships, and ultimately all they are is a transfer mechanism.
It's a loading screen.
Yeah, it's a loading screen and a transfer mechanism.
I was hoping they'd better fly them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really hoping that too, and clearly I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, these ships are all about being able to get you through gates, if you will, of leveling. So if you're not of that level and you don't have the right kind of ship, you won't be able to get to this planet or this area that's higher level.
When I first heard about the game, I initially thought it was going to be a mix of like EVE Online, and then like Defiance on the ground. I thought you'd have a mix of the two.
Yeah,
so, but you never know what the main game's going to be like. Yeah,
true. I mean, we are still in beta, so there's plenty still. Well, hopefully, there's going to be a lot more revealed. I did notice today, as I've been leveling myself up, I'm now able to do. There's a mission on the moon, which I had originally thought was not available.
Yeah, it
but
said
I
to me
just
it wasn't
saw
available.
The moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the moon is now available to go explore.
There's a wizard on the moon, you know.
That's what I've heard. And I did
not
just...
Not a game age. I'm sorry.
No, he's in Washington State.
I did finally complete the Devil's Lair, which... Yeah.
I did that by myself. Sorry.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, so here's a funny story. Similar to that, I had gone in, not with the fire team, but I went into the Devil's Lair. I got assigned a fire team.
Yes, you do, because it's there's certain missions, like the that boss level, where it puts you in a fire team. It don't want you to go in solo, because I don't think it thinks you can survive it solo.
You can't.
The funny part was,
yeah,
I took off, and, you know, we were out in, like, the main area, and I was progressing towards the beacon marker, and the guys I was with, I'm 99% positive, were not the same two I went into the actual Devil's Lair, where you couldn't, where, like, respawning was suddenly locked.
Yeah.
But anyway, we went in there. They, I think, were in private chat, so we couldn't talk, but we still worked really well as a team, and we developed a pattern of one guy, his name was Ruffles. He basically stayed back, and so he was always in the back, and then myself and another character, Pixels, I think was his name. Anyway, we were the front forward people and taking the beating, and then we would occasionally be dying, but as long as he didn't die after an extended period of time, kind of like a 30-second counter,
yeah,
we would respawn in.
That's a bit like Halo. Yeah.
But if somebody came and revived us quickly, then we'd respawn, you know, we'd be revived at the point.
Yeah. I did start off with somebody, two people.
Yeah.
They peeled, one guy left immediately, and the other guy left eventually. So I ended up having to finish it by myself. But we were at that section where you did have one person stand back and another person more forward. Mm-hmm. And I was sniping like a fool.
Yeah, I quickly learned that you can't melee the spider tank.
No.
Yeah, melee. It was not a good call.
But sniping, it got me 400 points off of him every time I hit him.
Yeah, the sniper rifle's really good in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In fact, it's become my go-to secondary weapon.
Yeah.
Especially for the wizards and the knights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the knights are a pain.
Yeah. I had told Kim and Mike, I was like, when the knights come out, I was like, y'all be careful. I was like, because last time I said they owned me. And so I whipped out my sniper rifle. I had this knight in my scope, and I shot him. And this is after I had gone, I think I'd started at level 6, and now I was already an 8. So I'd upgraded the weapons and stuff. And one shot took his head off. And there I go, oh, yeah, he's real tough. Like, sorry.
But yeah, so, I mean, overall, I really like the game. I'm very impressed. You know, all little things set aside, you know, I'm not crazy about the whole hub world thing. That's just me. It's very MMO-like in that regard. And so some people certainly love that. They love being able to run around, and they love being able to dance and stand in front of somebody else and dance. I honestly could give two shits about that. I just don't care. But it's good, and I think Destiny is also very exciting for all of us, because it has been such, you know, Wolfenstein probably was the last game that got surprised everybody, and Destiny is the game that everybody was anticipating, and now it's looking like it's delivering a really good experience as well, so it's like you get even more excited for it. I will say this, though. I don't think this is going to be my game of the year.
Me either.
Yeah. I think, based on what I've played, it's going to be exceptional, and it'll definitely be in discussions, but I just don't think it's going to deliver on a story level for me that will put it up. I'm pretty sure there's a game called Dragon Age Inquisition that's probably going to do that for me. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
So I've got a question for you two guys.
Yeah.
In the alpha, the narration by Peter Dinklage for the ghost character, the little flying cubey thing,
mm-hmm.
That was criticized heavily. But it was an alpha build, according to Bungie, even on the voice acting. The voice acting for that character was quite wooden. It had no depth to it. Now, I've noticed they've altered it a bit. They've made it a bit more robotic and give it a few little tweaks and sound effects. But it does sound the same actual vocals. So did that piss you guys off? Did it upset you? Did you not like the Peter Dinklage bit? Or didn't you really notice it?
Nicole, I'll let you go first.
You're talking about the ghost guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't bother me. I actually thought he was, I mean, you know, it's nice having a quote-unquote companion. he didn't, there were times I wish he would shut up, but, I mean, I didn't have any problems with the, I guess it wasn't as robotic as I would have expected, but I didn't really necessarily have a problem with it. I didn't really even think about it, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah, if you get a chance, have a look on YouTube for some of the alpha footage. They have really improved it a lot, but because it was really wooden and quite obvious that this guy was like hamming it up. It's like overacting.
Right. Just my two cents on it. I didn't find it offensive. I mean, the roboticness that they kind of give to his voice, the little tinniness, I think is a nice touch.
It matches the character, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And maybe it's because Peter Dinklage's voice in this is a little melancholy. It doesn't have like a lot of motion to it.
But it shouldn't.
I think back to Guilty Spark. And Guilty Spark in the Halo games, his voice had a lot more character to it. Whereas
it does have character, but it doesn't necessarily have emotion until it gets pissed off.
Fair enough. But so I think I just don't really pay that much attention to the ghost in Destiny so far. And that could be to my own detriment because I think he does talk about some certain story elements, and I find myself going, wait, what did he just say? Was that important? So
it's funny you say that, because I was more focused on the ghost, on the voice acting, because of the alpha. So I was really looking for the changes where they'd made improvements. But were you not playing the alpha, you wouldn't have been looking for that, would you? So
no.
That's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
I liked Nathan Fillion, though. As soon as I heard his voice, I'm like, hey, that's the Firefly guy. Yeah, I'm a geek.
No, Firefly is a good show.
And he also does Destiny, a TV show.
Yep. Anyway, so any last thoughts on the Destiny beta? Remember to play it on the 26th at 1 p.m., by the way.
No, it's...
It's 2 p.m. or 1 p.m.?
I think it's 2 for you.
Right.
2 Pacific. So whatever math you have to do. Because I think it's 4 for me, so it's 2 for you. And
are you Central or are you East Coast?
I'm Central. I don't go to the right coast. I don't go to the wrong one either. Smack in the middle.
can I just touch on the two different systems? Xbox One and PS4?
Oh, no, yeah, please do.
I can't find any differences at all between the two. Graphically, sound. Well, there is one slight difference is... You know, when you initially set it up and it asks you for your screen border and your brightness.
Right.
I've noticed I've had to turn brightness up more on the Xbox One than the PS4, but that might be my setup, my TV. But graphically to look at, I could not see any differences at all.
Everything I've seen, Mark Enix would back you up on that. Yeah. I know Robin made some comments about he thought the Xbox One version looked better.
Of course he did.
You know, everything I've seen so far, you know, and again, you're looking at probably upscaled images of the Xbox One version and the PS4 version at 1080p. Mm-hmm. I think Bungie did a fantastic job of developing this game on all systems and bringing it to all systems and making it look good.
They both run really smooth. There's no stuttering or anything. They just both run perfectly. The only differences are obviously the control methods. I might sound biased, but I do prefer the PS4 controller, mainly because, you know, when you do your navigation, on the Xbox One, you've got a tiny little button, and it'll be, I presume it's the back button on the Xbox 360.
Right.
But on the PS4, you just touch the touchpad. You've got this huge thing, and it's so easy to press to bring your nav up and then find out where you've got to go. I find on the Xbox One, but this is probably just me, because I do use the controller a lot, but not as much as I use a PS4 controller. So I find myself looking down at the controller to press the button to find out where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, I don't know, a personal thing. But apart from that, I can't find any difference. And to quash any people who think I'm more of a PS4 fanboy now than an Xbox One, going back to FIFA, I'm pretty disappointed with the PS4 version of FIFA 14. I think the Xbox One version is quite more superior than the PS4 version, it pains me to say.
Wow.
I think it runs smoother, and the colours look better on the Xbox One. You know, the graphs and the contrast and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just plays smoother on the Xbox One than the PS4. So whether that's a lead build...
It's because Xbox was the FIFA sponsor for World Cup. But that's good. That's good insight on the differences of the versions.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're able to actually kind of sit back and look at both versions and have an objective eye.
Yeah.
We do know, just based off of what Bungie has said, that the beta version actually is only running at 900p on the Xbox One version right now. It will be 1080p when it comes out.
You can't tell. I can't tell anyway.
Yeah.
But my eyes are old.
It looks good. It's a good-looking game, plain and simple. And I think it's going to be a successful game for Bungie. I'm curious to see what the legs are for this game. Now, I think my biggest curiosity is how long does Destiny get seriously hardcore played before other games come in? And I say that because it's kind of common nowadays. Even the hottest games seem to get drowned out by the new best thing because there's so many new best things coming out.
Yeah.
It's really hard, especially in the console space, for games to have really long legs. And that's maybe what makes Call of Duty such an exceptional franchise, is because it's managed to do that. Even with its yearly iterations, it's had some crazy-ass legs to the game. And again, this year, Call of Duty Advanced Warfighter is looking pretty awesome. And that pains me to say, because I so don't want it to be good, but in some respects, I really want it to be good.
My hand's gone blank now.
It happens. Again, we're getting old.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Destiny's going to have some legs?
Oh, that was it. Hands? Yeah. Yeah, I think its biggest problem is what we saw at E3 this year was nearly every game was promoting co-op, co-op this, co-op that. And shortly after Destiny releases, I think it's October, November, you've got Evolve coming.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to take a lot of players away from Destiny into Evolve. Two different games, but I think it's going to take quite a bit of their audience.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what happens with Evolve too, because that's another one where... You know, although the quote-unquote co-op number is slightly higher, it's 5, but it's, 4 versus the 1. And I'm really curious if that can have legs, because it's kind of left for dead. And is that just the flavor of the month, or does it have sustainability? I just don't know.
Mm.
Anyway, we're going down a different rabbit hole than we need to. Let's move on. We've got a news quiz. I know you guys were excited to hear this.
What? No, we don't need... There's only two of us.
Oh, but we are going to do a news quiz anyway.
Can I just say he wins?
Can I just say she wins?
Sure. It's a mutual tie, but we're still going to have the news quiz. 8 questions. Nicole, you're going to go first. Mark, you're going to go second. And here we go. All right. So, Nicole... Battlefield Hardline has been delayed to 2015. Per DICE VP Carl Magnus Trosen, what is the reason? Is it A, feedback from fans gave them more ideas and possibilities for the game they just didn't have time for? Is it B, feedback from the fans told them a lot of the game was still broken and not up to DICE quality? Or C, feedback from fans suggested this title would suffer in sales going up against the glutton of titles launching in October?
Can I just say, is that a bit of an oxymoron, DICE quality? Did we not see Battlefield 4? And I thought Visceral were making it, not DICE.
Well, this is the VP of DICE. They're heading it up, Battlefield Hardline. I think DICE now has control of Battlefield.
Yeah.
Okay, now the article I read said Battlefield Hardline flatlined. But the quote I read said that they were doing it because they wanted to make sure after the fiasco of Battlefield 4 that they issued forth a quality product. So does that fit into one of your little A's? Because it sounds like B and C combined.
Right.
Yeah.
Half a point.
Half a point, sure, because you're right in the middle there. So basically, the game will now launch between January 1st and March 31st, 2015. I'm going easy on you guys for this news quiz because there's only two of you. How's that? Is that nice?
That's nice.
All right. Back at E3, we launched a beta for Hardline. We wanted to not only show you the game, but let you play it for yourselves. Millions of you jumped in and had a great time, explained VP Carl Magnus Trosum on the Battlefield blog. He said, as a result, Visceral Games team learned a lot from players about what they wanted in the game. We've been poring over the data and feedback and have already been putting a lot right into the game and sharing it directly with you. This feedback also spurred us to start thinking about other possibilities and ways we could push Hardline innovation further and make the game even better. The more we thought about these ideas, the more we knew we had to get them into the game you will all be playing. However, there was only one problem. We would need more time. Time that we didn't have if we decided to move forward with launching the game in a couple of months. The extra time, Trosten says, will let Visceral evolve the cops and criminals fantasy into a truly unique Battlefield multiplayer experience, polish the single-player mode, and improve stability. So, there you have it, Nicole. Yes. Pretty much. I mean, it was blurred, and it was a tough question to begin with. So, half a point.
That's all
a full point. Whatever. Mark.
A million points.
A million points to Nicole. Mark, here's your $2 million question. Microsoft announced their financials this past week. How much did the Xbox platform revenue increase by? Is it A, 10%, B, 14%, or C, 18%?
I've absolutely no idea, so I'll go in the middle one.
Middle is typically a safe thing with me, so let's see. In the latest quarter, the Xbox One and Xbox 360 shipped 1.1 million units combined, contributing to increases the whole Xbox platform revenue by $104 million, or 14%. Yeah. The increase is mainly due to strengthened revenue of console hardware. The whole three times fast. The whole computing and gaming hardware revenue increased by $274 million, 23%, driven by solid revenue from the Xbox platform and Microsoft Surface sales. So they're lumping everything in together. All right, so point to you, Mark. Nicole, coming back to you, EA also announced Dragon Age Inquisition will also be seeing a delay. What is the new release window for the U.S. For the title in the U.S.? Is it A, November 4th, B, November 18th, or C, December 2nd?
God. And I glazed over that one, so I don't remember what that one said. I'm going to go with whatever the middle one was, too. B. Pick B.
Middle seems to be safe. Let's find out. A note from Mark Duras, the executive producer on Dragon Age Inquisition, said, I'm writing to let you know Dragon Age Inquisition has a new release date of November 18th in 2014 for North America and the 21st in Europe. I appreciate the enormous support we've received from all of you to get to this point, and while this extra few weeks may not seem like a lot, I know the game you'll play will be better for it. And the reason why it'll be better for it is because you'll probably buy it now, because if it launched in October, you probably weren't buying it. Yeah, I honestly think EA pushed this out solely as a sales strategy move. October was so crowded.
He used his strategery.
Yes. Well done, Nicole. Point to you. Mark, you are behind by a half a point. Right. Let's see if you can make it up here.
Middle one.
Sony just released update 1.74 for the PlayStation.
I've downloaded it. Shit.
Yes. Yeah. What is the major feature of this update?
I think I know.
Is it A, system software stability? B, 3-day Blu-ray playback?
3-day.
Or C, native DLNA support?
No, the 3D Blu-ray is coming in 1.75. It's just a stability one this time around. I know that for a fact.
For a fact, put it in the bank. You are correct, sir. Full point. The size of this major update, 194 megabytes, took about 60 seconds to download and install. But on the heels of this, and some are saying on the heels of Microsoft announcing 3-day Blu-ray support, Sony came out and said, 1.75, It's coming next week. We're giving you 3-day Blu-ray.
Shuhei Yoshida tweeted it out, didn't he? It's coming next week. 3D,
yep.
3D support. Have you got it on Xbox One yet? 3D support.
Yes.
All right, okay.
So it just came out in the August preview.
I still use my PS3 for Blu-rays.
Well, now you finally can get rid of your PS3.
I like it. I've got that many games on it. PS Plus, you know, it's a killer.
It is hard to get rid of it, I know. Same thing with my 360. Yeah. But well done. You are back in the lead by half a point. This whole half point thing is proven to be controversial. Oh. Nicole.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
I got wine. I'm good.
All right. In a recent interview with the outspoken and industry poster child Cliff Bleszinski, he had what to say about E3 and its importance? Is it A, it's still a beacon in the industry, B, it's eventually going to evolve into something bigger, or C, a waste of money?
He's such a prick nowadays. God. What was A and C? Because I'm not going to pick B this time.
A is it's still a beacon in the industry, and C, it's a waste of money.
We'll go with C.
Per an interview with Cliff Bleszinski, I see the entire thing as largely a waste of money. It's a model that's eventually going to die. I see developers killing themselves to make these stage demos, and that's a moot point in the new world order that we're in. Well done, Nicole. You jumped back in the lead by half a point. Drama music should be pounding right now.
My head is count.
All right, Mark, are you ready for your question?
Yes.
All right. Number 6, the Yogcast Kickstarter has made headlines the past couple of weeks. For what reason, Mark? Is it A, the game has failed to materialize and the studio has gone bust? B, they have made a game totally different from what the Kickstarter description was? Or C, they have started a new Kickstarter for the same game with better incentives, leaving original backers angry?
Right, well, I listened to the Veteran Gamers podcast, which came out today, or early hours of this morning, while I was at work through the night, and they was on about this Yogcast. Apparently, the Kickstarter was to fund a game with them as the characters, but apparently the developer couldn't get it together or something. I don't 100% know. But instead, they're giving everyone who put money into the Kickstarter a different game. So it's the option with a different game.
So it's a half point.
Oh,
I'm going to give you a half point. So here is the real deal. So yes, fans of the gaming personalities Yogcast have been left in a lurch after the Kickstarter to create the game based on the popular crew went nowhere. Eurogamer has been reporting on this in a big way. The gist of it is in 2012, a third party was hired basically to run a successful over $500,000 Kickstarter for a game called Yog Ventures. That game has since failed to materialize, and the studio has gone bust. And that's basically been leaving the backers scrambling for refunds. And the Yogcast has been scrambling to find ways to make things right since they were really kind of behind this. So to their credit, they have been going out and doing all they can and actually getting free copies of another game, Tug, and sending that to backers to try and kind of compensate for the situation. But this is a mess.
Yeah.
And this is, quite honestly, the danger of the Kickstarter situation, because unlike other things that get kickstarted, those things typically are products. They have a clear roadmap. Usually people have actually already done a prototype model, whereas with video games, people come to you with an idea, and it's like, here's our idea that we think we can make, and half the time, like in this case, they have no clue what the hell they're going to get getting into. They don't even know what it's truly going to cost them to make. I mean, I was listening to it, the Yogcast guys. They had hired an industry veteran, paid him like $35,000. He never created one thing for them. So it was just a colossal waste of money and poor management. And, I mean, it just really put a big black mark on the whole Kickstarter thing.
And then you have the people who put money into the Kickstarter. They don't fully understand what the Kickstarter is, And they think they put money in to definitely get something out, but they don't realize there's a risk involved.
Right. There's a risk involved.
They have to want blood then, don't they?
Yeah. And half the time they think they're actually getting the game, and often they're not. And so it just, I always say it, I will pay you money when you make a game. I will not pay you money before you make a game. That's my philosophy. I don't believe in Kickstarter. I understand it's helped create some games that probably never would have gotten funded. And I say good on them for that and being able to get somebody to buy that. But for me, I buy finished products. I don't buy something that isn't even proven yet. So that's just me. More importantly, Mark, you got a half point for that. Guess what? We are tied. Two questions to go. Whew. Breathe in, breathe out. Nicole, are you ready?
Sure.
All right. The latest news from Crytek continues to look dire. Out of these three positions, which one has not been confirmed to have been having left the company?
Doggy style.
Missionary position always gets left behind.
Sorry.
All right, so I'm going to read off three positions to you, Nicole. One of these three is not confirmed as having already left the company. All right?
Uh-huh.
Good. Is it A, the producer of Homefront, B, the writer of Homefront, or C, the producer of Rise? One of those three still potentially with the company.
We'll go with the Rise person.
Well, let's just find out. Things definitely not looking good at Crytek land. Homefront's producer has left the building, Tiago Sosa, the man behind the CryEngine, and he has recently left Crytek. And we just found out that Mike Reed, the producer of both Crysis 3 and Rise, has resigned from the German studio as well. So from what we know, the writer of Homefront still there.
Okay, Mark, screw up the next question, damn it.
Yes.
If it's any consolation, I'd have gone the same with that. I knew the guy from Homefront had gone. I didn't realize Rise guy had gone.
Yeah, okay.
It's Greg's trickery.
It is my trickery.
He's good with
indeed.
The trickery.
Now, there was an update that was issued actually just today, and this is a statement from Crytek. In recent weeks, there have been repeated reports and rumors relating to financial problems at Crytek. Having already given an update to staff across all of our studios, we are now in a position to share more details with members of the press and public. Internally, we have acknowledged that the flow of information to employees has not been as good as it should have been. However, we hope you understand this communicating details of our plans publicly has not always been possible. Like the games industry as a whole, Crytek has been in a transitional phase. Our evolution from a development studio to an online publisher has required us to refocus our strategies. These challenges go along with an increased demand for capital, which we have secured. We can now concentrate on the long-term strategic direction of Crytek and our core competencies. We kindly ask for your understanding that we won't be communicating further details about our development and progress. Ultimately, with our organization, capitalization, portfolio, and technologies, we have now laid the foundations for securing Crytek's future, not just in the short term, but also in the long term. Through this period of speculation, we are thankful for the support and encouragement we have received from our community and partners, and for the contribution of all our staff that they have made. We remain committed to doing what we are best known for and trying to develop the best interactive experiences and technology possible for everyone who loves gaming. Whew, that was a lot to say, but apparently Crytek found Daddy Warbucks somewhere. At least that's what they're saying. I guess we will find out. But it looks like hopefully this tidal wave of bad news for Crytek is finally over, and maybe they can get back to, as they said, making games. More importantly, Mark, are you ready?
I am.
All right.
It's been a while since I've won one of these.
Well, here is your chance. Mark, Sony has settled their internet breach class action lawsuit. They settled it out of court for how much? Is it A, $15 million, B, $30 million, or C, $45
million? All right. Well, I know they're giving away another load of games, aren't they? For those who didn't claim a free game last time, you can pick a game. And then those who did get a game, can pick from another set of games. That's what I've read. I think it was... I'm sure I've seen this figure saying 15 million. So I'll go for that.
Well, let's find out, Mark. Sony this month agreed to a $15 million preliminary settlement in a class action lawsuit over the 2011 data breach of the PlayStation Network, Corosity, and Sony Online Entertainment Services. A statement read, a proposed settlement has been reached in the class action lawsuits arising from the April 2011 criminal cyber attacks on the PlayStation Network, Corosity, and Sony Online Entertainment Services. A representative told Polygon in a written statement, information regarding the proposed settlement, which is subject to final approval by the court, is available in the settlement agreement and documents filed with the court. While we continue to deny the allegations in the class action lawsuits, most of which had been previously dismissed by the trial court, we decided to move forward with a settlement to avoid costs associated with lengthy litigation. So there you go. Well done, Mark.
I feel sorry for Sony a little bit because they did spend a lot of money giving away free games to compensate players for it, for the outage. And now we have to give them a load of games away again. So,
Well, it's in the amount of $15 million, so it's certainly a smaller drop in the bucket, if you will.
And I don't know, it's on what a first-come, first-serve basis, is it?
Yeah,
you have to apply, don't you?
Yeah, it does run out, and they are limited, so it's if you didn't get your game before, you could get a game now. That said, well done, Mark. And for the win, you now get a special bonus.
Wow.
Your bonus is... Do you want to answer the next question, or do you want Nicole to answer the next question?
I knew that was coming.
Do I get to preview the next question?
Yes. I can give you a preview and say this question has to do with a recent game company or gaming services company purchase.
I'll let Nicole do that one.
Oh, thanks.
All right, Nicole.
You can fight me.
Tech giant Google has purchased
on the list
TV.
Oh, no. Yeah.
For how much money, Nicole? Is it A, $1 billion, B, $1.3 billion, or C, $1.5 billion?
Oh God.
She just went from being excited to
because I know they bought it. I just can't remember freaking how much. I even sent you the article.
I know.
You suck. Okay, the 1.1 was to something else earlier, another article I read. So what are the other two?
So there's one, 1.3, or 1.5.
I'm going to laugh because it's going to end up being 1.1, but I'm going to go with 1.3.
Let's find out. Google has signed a deal to buy gaming live stream firm Twitch for $1.0 billion.
Right here. See this? I know you can see this.
$1 billion.
Now, Google and Twitch declined to comment. Both companies happen to be speaking at an upcoming event. But the deal was first basically cited by unnamed sources from Variety back in May, which basically said that Google had made an all-cash offer for Twitch. All right, so due to a little technical snafu, we are back for a brief moment. I was not. Yes, my main computer decided to overheat and just shut down. So we are now working through technology wonders of backup computers and all that good stuff. More importantly, where we left off, Google just bought Twitch TV for $1 billion. Nicole had... thought she was smooth sailing and knew the answer to this question,
oh,
and
bite me.
Sadly did not. And more importantly, Mark, you won the news quiz challenge. You also stuck it to Nicole by giving her a second question. Now,
he wishes.
Cherry on the ice cream, or the sundae, if you will. I think you had a question.
Yeah. What's this going to mean for Twitch? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? What's your views on it?
Well, for Twitch, it's a good thing. I mean, they're getting $1 billion in cash. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at.
You think they're going to integrate it into YouTube, though?
Yes, and for Twitch users, that's the bigger question to ask. Is this a good thing for us? I hate Google Plus.
Yeah.
I can't stand Google Plus. We have gone round and round with Google Plus trying to make it work. Google Plus is crap. And I know it works for some people and what they do, and that's fine. For me,
the Hangouts.
Yes, and I fear that they're going to kind of push that. I hope they don't. I hope they kind of do what they did with YouTube, which Google kind of gets into it, and you have to have your Google account, but it's not overly intrusive. Mm. But I'm really worried that they're trying to create this like monopoly on this area of you know, user-created video.
My immediate thoughts were, there's a lot of people on Twitch who are monetizing Twitch and actually making a living out of it. There's people who stream daily and they get subscribers for it, and they also get donations and they get quite a bit of money, some of them. Now, we all know what Google are like with YouTube and monetization, with copyrights and everything. So that's the side I can see being a legal minefield.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
I mean, I'm not looking forward to it.
No.
As much as they didn't allow us to have our anonymity, which, you know, that's here or there. I did not like posting as my name on YouTube, but they forced you to, so I quit using YouTube. I refused to post anything as my name. I liked using my gamer tag. I liked using Amaranth.
Mm-hmm. I'm on that, though.
Yeah,
yes, they have backpedaled, but who's to say what they're going to change now?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a wide open door.
Yeah, and more importantly, I mean, Google really corners the market on this. I mean, it's a little insane to think, and I don't know that – I'm trying to think if the courts had fully pushed this through. I think it's still pending approval, but – I mean, if this goes through, I mean, think about it. The two major self-creating, you know, video channel services out there are owned by Google. Feels a bit monopoly-like. So, excuse me, it will be interesting to see how that goes. All right. Well, that does it for the news quiz. Now, listeners, you are getting treated to a very special interview that Nicole and I did earlier this week with Dean Michael, who you probably know in the Twitter sphere and the Facebook forums as @RygosGaming, and a special individual that it was our pleasure to interview. And Nicole, thank you for getting this set up, because you were the muscle behind this. You got it all done. You worked hard to get him on. And so, without further ado, enjoy this interview, and we'll catch you right on the backside. All right. Now we have a very special interview to bring our listeners. I'm joined right now by our very own Nicole Radowski. Nicole, we have a very special guest with us. I'm going to let you do the intro and honors here, because you have worked with this gentleman and really done a lot to kind of bring his story to us, and now we want to help him bring his story to a lot more people.
Yes, thank you. We are very blessed to have Dean with us today at Rygus on Twitter, and we've done an interview with him before. It was me mostly asking questions, and then we put it out there on the web for everybody to read. But now we have him in our virtual studio, so we're very excited to have you here, Dean.
Indeed. Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Anything we can do to help. So we're going to basically start off with finding out what brought you into gaming in the first place.
Basically, I've been gaming for many, many years. Been gaming EVE Online since 2005, and that's where kind of the Rygus name came from. That was my pilot name on EVE Online, and still is today. But I've been involved in gaming since, gone back to the very, very early days. I show my age now.
What's the earliest game you remember?
Oh, let's
I'll help you out. Mine is Pong. Okay. So that should tell you how old I am.
Yeah.
Mine was, I would say, Doom.
Doom, okay. Doom. All
right.
Right
around
Doom.
The
okay.
same time.
Yeah.
Mine was Pong as well, though, so I can't say anything. Greg and I are only a few months apart.
Yeah, okay. We're ancient.
Very good.
That's okay.
I remember playing a few games on the Commodore 64 way back then.
I had one of those in an Odyssey. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And a ZX Spectrum. Do you remember those?
No.
With the rubber keyboard.
Well, the ZX Spectrum, wasn't that the Sega? Is it the Sega Master System? Is that what that was?
No.
I'm trying to remember. It was a different name over in the U.S.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you probably had different branding. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I had the Sega Mega Drive and a Nintendo and... what was that one that was an epic fail? The Atari Jaguar. Do you remember that?
Oh, God, yeah.
Or as you say in the over. States, Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Yeah, but I like Jaguar better.
So we know a little bit about the gaming history. Tell us more about kind of your situation, specifically your medical situation. I think, that's a big part of your story, and so I don't want to just gloss over that.
Yeah. I mean, basically, last May... 2013, I was diagnosed with incurable cancer of the esophagus, which basically means I've got a tumor wrapped around my gullet, which stops me from eating solid foods. And going back to May last year, it was a case that I went from a very well-built 6'3", 18-stone guy, which is about 252 pounds, down to 12 stone. Which for me was extremely skinny. You know, I felt like I felt like a skeleton with skin on. But since then, I've put weight back on now and stuff like that. But I did have back in June/July, I had a tumor bleed out, which meant the tumor was effectively stealing my good blood to feed itself, to keep itself alive. So I effectively shouldn't be here right now, but, you know, I fought against it, and thank God I'm still here today. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you also came from a military background, is that correct?
Yes, indeed, yeah. British Royal Marines. I retired from 4-5 Commando back in November 11. And obviously, you know, the cancer didn't help. So I've been involved in many operations overseas in Afghanistan and in Iraq. I was lead sniper unit on Desert Shield and Desert Storm operations. So, So I got through that, and now I'm now I've got a bigger fight on my hands.
Yeah, probably a little more crazy than you anticipated.
Yeah, it's a crazy world.
No, it is. So you have a gaming foundation, Rygos Gaming?
Yes, indeed, yeah. I set up basically Rygos Gaming just to bring, you know, awareness to the cancer kind of cause that's out there. I thought, you know, I was kind of looking at what everybody else was doing, and I thought I'd just put a bit of a twist on it. And just, you know, there's not many guys out there with incurable cancer like I have that are out there fundraising for cancer as well. So I thought, well, what better way than to, you know, bring in what I love, which is online gaming, and obviously champion for this new cause, you know, that I've been thrown into, this new world I've been thrown into, and just mix the two and see how we go. It's tough. Fundraising online is a lot harder than what I thought it would be, but it's definitely it's gathering momentum, especially, you know, the exposure is starting to rock and roll now. Definitely, absolutely, you know, got a great couple of sponsors on board now. Online key store, you know, we partnered up with them. They approached us, or they approached me, so they're sponsoring me at the moment. I've got Origin sponsoring me.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's good. And lately, the very lovely Kerry from Playboy Miss Social is working with us to give
hello.
Us that exposure. Well, hello. So she's actually running for Playboy Miss Social July at the moment. So I'm doing a bit to promote her, and she's promoting us in return. But she's a great girl, and she's taking, you know, a bit of time out of her hectic schedule to you know, put a bit of business, a bit of promotion my way as well, which is great.
Well, Dean, I will just go on record. Any help you need reviewing promotional materials?
Absolutely.
No, I'm absolutely your guy.
Great stuff. Thank you, Greg.
He will sacrifice himself for you.
Yeah. I will put in the hours needed. It That's may cool. only be one picture, but I'm there for you.
It's a 28-hour day, Greg.
So what have you been playing lately? What games are gracing your gaming consoles and or computer these days?
Well, if anybody looks at my Facebook page at Rygus Gaming, they'll know that it's very much themed on Titanfall. Titanfall seems to be the game for me at the moment, and it's really brought me back into the FPS arena. You know, coming away from EVE Online, which is a very heavy duty space sim. It can be quite slow at times. Titanfall certainly brings in, you know, a lot of hectic gameplay.
Right.
Keeps you busy, keeps you on your toes, keeps your reactions, you know, pretty good. So that, Call of Duty, obviously, you know, looking forward to Advanced Warfare when it comes out. But definitely Titanfall is the number one game for me at the moment.
Do you have plans for or hopes of any new games coming out that have caught your fancy?
Well, I was quite looking forward to Battlefield Hardline.
Yes, which flatlined, apparently.
It flatlined, isn't it? The beta didn't really do it for me. And obviously, you know, with news the last couple of days that, you know, EA have, you know, stretched it out now to 2015 to concentrate on getting the game better and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not holding out any great hopes for it either.
Yeah, it looks like they want to do better with that game than they did with Battlefield 4, so I give them kudos for holding back. But
absolutely. There were so many problems with Battlefield 4. I suppose they're just, you know, EA aren't exactly renowned, you know, as the best gaming company out there for lots of different reasons. So I think they just want to get things a little bit more right, you know, with Battlefield Hardline.
Yep.
So, let's see what happens in 2015.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You say your son games too?
Yeah, I think we got a pro Xbox player in the making there. He's definitely, he's a great kid. He just turned 12.
Big boy.
Oh, I am 6'3", and this guy, if he's not 6'6", he's going to be 6'8". He's going to be a big, big man, and I hope he is. I hope he is. But no, he's a great kid, and I would love to see him. He's very creative as well in his writing and his storytelling. His storytelling is bordering on lies half the time. But no, I think he's, as far as the gaming industry is concerned, I think he would do quite well. If I'm still around, and I think I will be, that I'm just going to really coax him into the gaming industry in some sort of
angle. Sure. If he's good with the stories and good with art and good with gaming in general, something in development would be right up his alley.
Absolutely, and definitely in either storyboard writing or, you know, script writing or mission, you know, creating missions or anything like that for any particular franchise. I think he would excel at it. And it, you know, I'm biased. It's my son. What can I do? You know,
it's good.
He kicks my ass on that 360 like there's no tomorrow. But then again, I've got an excuse. I've got cancer, and I'm a PC. I'm a PC gamer. You know.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's two strikes against you. You just throw that out at your son anytime he beats you.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm a PC gamer, and I've got cancer. What's your excuse?
He's 12.
He's 12, and he's better looking.
Oh, they always are better looking at than us when they start growing up.
Definitely.
Well, you know, maybe we can kind of circle the wagons a little bit and get out all of your contact information. So, including like gamer tags, that kind of thing. Let's make it as easy as possible for people to get in contact with you, and not just support you, but game with you.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
I mean, supporting too.
Absolutely, any support is appreciated. Whether you give me a like or a follow on Twitter or a like on Facebook, it's not all about, you know, people donating money, and you know, which obviously is great too. But you know, follow me on Twitter at Rygos. On Facebook, it's Rygos Gaming. I'm looking hopefully at if I carry on the way I'm going with the alternative kind of medicines that I'm playing around with at the moment. I'm looking at streaming again and making videos again for YouTube. So you can find me on YouTube as well, Rygos. Twitter is not Twitter, Twitch, Rygos. There's nothing happening there at the moment, but give it a follow anyway. Why not?
Absolutely. And Rygos, it's R-H-Y-G-O-S.
G-O-S, that's it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent, excellent. And I didn't catch, that's also your Xbox Live gamer tag?
No, I actually don't play Xbox.
No. That is on his son. Yes.
I'm a PC gamer.
My mistake, Dean. I heard Titanfall and I just made an assumption.
Dude.
But
he does it on PC.
Come on. Huh? See Master Race there. Come on.
Dean, I liked you so much up until now.
I'll still kick your ass on Xbox if I get on.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I kick his ass on Xbox. It's all good.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I'm kidding, Greg.
I'm Titanfall for PC, obviously. It's on the Origin platform. So my gamer tag on Origin is just, again, simply Rygos. R-H-Y-G-O-S. So feel free to add me on there. And if you see me online, you know, I'm gaming in Titanfall, jump on. Feel free.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. You know, we will do all we can to help support you as well as Rygos Gaming.
Excellent.
And again, thanks for sharing your stories. And hey, we'll have you back on this time maybe next year.
Yeah,
circle
absolutely.
The wagons. We'll come back around.
Circle them wagons.
Awesome.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Dean.
Okay, be good. Game on.
All right, we are back from that fantastic interview. And again, Dean, thank you so much for allowing us the pleasure to speak with you and just learn a little bit more about you and kind of what you've been going through and what you're all about. It truly was an honor. Speaking of honors, Nicole.
Yes, sir.
I've got this little thing called the B-side.
Oh, God, yeah.
This little thing.
Little thing.
Normally, it is a little thing.
I don't think you need my input this week, do you? I think you've got enough input.
You know, I'm still going to ask, though. You know, I can't help myself. All right, the B-side. Sorry. This week's question was, do you think there's gender bias in the gaming community? And this includes... you know, this is so funny. My notes have just gone south. Oh, that sounds bad.
Gone south. We're joining you then, don't we?
Shush. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's south. We'll go with that south. No, I hit a button and it scrolled my notes right straight up. So
I hate when that happens.
Oh, it drives me insane. All right. So we'll try this again. The B-side question was... do you think there's gender bias in the gaming community? And this includes game development companies, gaming journalisms, forums, etc. Now, I had a lot of feedback on this one, and I was very excited because, you know, we posed the question on the G4TE.com forums, and I posed the question in Twitter. I also saw a post in Bungie.net forums titled, "Hi, I'm a Girl Gamer." And going through all that, because I just had to go and read that post, considering this question. Going through all that, I came across quite a few very well-articulated responses to some of the comments that were being made. And so I hit four people up over there, two girls, two guys. Did not hear a thing back from the girls, but did hear stuff back from the guys, which I found really nice. And it was, they had good stuff to say. So, and they were very helpful and I really appreciated it. So I am going to go to these other notes because I have notes everywhere.
It was quite a discussion even in the G4TE forums. I mean, I
know,
saw
two pages.
People and not just writing small little couple lines here or there. I mean, people got into it, which is a great thing. I love seeing that and hearing that. So anyway.
I was very impressed with the length of answer, with the thought behind all of these answers. I mean, we heard from the Taffman, from Spock, from Jay Rambo, Hot Chutney, Gamer Girl, Parsnip had a little thing in there about our percentages of girls versus guys on the actual...
we've heard this before.
Yeah. On the forums. Y'all are awful.
He said it.
He did. You know, and even Jay Rambo went in and did some more discussion on it because he had more to say. And then the gentleman that I spoke with on the Bungie forums was Warsmith Hansu and a gentleman, R.H. Soldier. And I hope to God I'm saying y'all's names right. But everybody pretty much does agree that, yes, there is gender bias. I mean, that's not anything that is going to probably be disagreed with. The big thing is that games such as Mass Effect, Tomb Raider, Mortal Kombat, Dead or Alive, and the largest offender being GTA, are under that concept that sex sells. Jay Rambo pointed out that Ubisoft uses sex, so to speak, to sell their product. They have Aisha Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're going to laugh at me when I say Tyler, but they use her for their E3 stuff. They have for years, and she is a gorgeous woman. She is mouthy. She's a gamer, but they use her instead of using someone in their company who is higher up the food chain, you know, to promote their items, their gaming and whatnot during E3. Some of the other stuff that they brought out was that Twitch, I believe that the Taffman mentioned that Twitch, when you go through and look at all the people that are highly exposed and get the most viewers, it's generally the females with their low-cut shirts and their boobs hanging out because they're doing dancing games versus those hardcore gamer people
from the donations as well. When we get a donation, they'll do the little dance thing. And that's what I was on about earlier with the donations. Mm.
Yes.
It's interesting.
So,
it's weird. It shouldn't happen, should it? And there's some great streamers on there who are guys. There's one I watch a lot called Man vs. Game. I don't know if you guys have seen him.
Mm.
He is hilarious. He's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he has a big following, but I bet he don't get as many donations and subscriptions as the girls do. And half
probably
the time, they don't play the games.
Well, I'm going to test this theory out. I'm going to wear a low-cut shirt, and I'm going to dance in front of my screen, and we'll see how many subscribers I get.
Go ahead, Greg.
I don't think I'll get one.
Subscriber.
And then she'll she would just troll me.
Some of the other points that they brought out that Spock had mentioned was that the videos have been, games have been around for decades, and that older gamers such as ourselves have grown up and become more mature about how we handle other gamers, whether they're male or female, and we're not going to be that, we're going to control our outward behavior. We're not going to be that prepubescent child. We're not going to say rude things like make me a sandwich, and get in the kitchen and, you know, make the odd rude comment because we think it's funny or cool or whatever.
Well, that's just gay.
I am kind of hungry now, though.
Speaking of sandwiches,
I know.
Greg can go make me a sandwich.
So I can make you a sandwich.
you had that turkey one earlier.
So here's the funny thing about that, though. And one, I do want to thank everybody in the forums for chiming in. And as Nicole said, I mean, the response, overwhelming. There were a lot of lengthy comments, and so much so that, I mean, I think, Nicole, you timed it start to stop. It was like a half hour just reading off those comments. So we're not including that in our discussions here only from the standpoint of from a podcast length. It just would take too much time, and we'd rather have discussion versus just reading off stuff. But I highly encourage anybody listening to this at this point, jump over to g4te.com, go into the forums, and scroll down to the Overseas Connection podcast thread, and in there you'll see the B-side question from Nicole and all of the responses in there. A lot of, as she said, well-thought-out stuff. I would submit that as gamers, yes, we've gotten older, but I don't necessarily think that that has totally elevated the maturity level, because you still have younger gamers coming up, and the younger gamers are still going to be in that mindset.
I agree and disagree on that. They are in that mindset, but it's our responsibility as parents, as aunts, uncles, grandparents.
Oh, sure.
It is our responsibility to make sure that those children respect people, not as a gender, but as a person, and they have to respect people at home, at school, in game, and most importantly, in life as a whole. And as long as we teach that, because I've heard my son say something, and my son has gotten a serious talking to, and I'm like, you will not repeat that. But I've also heard my daughter say things, and I'm like, no, that's not how you do this. This is not how you play the game. That is not how you communicate with people. So it's our responsibility to make sure that these children grow up being a whole lot more respectful. Granted, there are quite a few people that use a gaming system as a babysitter, and that's a lost cause.
Right. Mark, I know you wanted to chime in.
Yeah, so how much responsibility do you think the game developers have got then in this? I know they are trying to change things around. There is a lot more emphasis on females in gaming, slowly filtering through. You've got your Tomb Raiders and stuff, and alternate female characters like in Mass Effect. But it's like any other entertainment industry, like football. The footballers are role models, so they have to behave in a manner which the public deem to be appropriate. So how much responsibility have the game developers got on this part then?
They're all equally. They're all equally guilty. We're all equally. Even our, women ourselves are just as guilty at this. There is a difference, in my opinion, of a girl gamer versus a gamer girl. You know, a girl gamer is a girl who games. A gamer girl, and no offense to Kim and her gamer tag. but, you know, you're like, oh, I'm a gamer girl, or I'm a girl gamer, whatever. If you put that in that title, you're setting yourself up. And that really ticks me off that women do that. I'm like,
Kim, hate mail too.
No, she even mentioned it on the forums that she doesn't, you know, but she's even talked about her gamer tag on there. But it's just one of those things where if you set yourself up for that, you're going to get the attention whether you want it or not.
Right.
But in my opinion, looking at a girl that's wearing a black t-shirt that may say, you know, a gaming company name across it, and she's got her hair pulled back, no makeup on, a serious look on her face, and she is totally kicking ass, that to me is a girl gamer. Versus the chick with the low cut and her boobs hanging out, makeup to the full, you know, being some object for men to look at. What are you doing? Weighing the odds there, Greg?
A little bit. You know, it's. I find that the industry probably bears the most weight on this topic. You know, just like any industry, we have to, you know, we bear the responsibility of it.
That's so by example, isn't it?
Exactly. And you know, this has all been, you know, kind of spurred, I think, you know, in many ways by the whole Giant Bomb hiring thing, and not to delve into all of that. But I mean, at some point you do have to sit back and say, you know, there really, you can't deny there is an issue when the same thing's getting repeated over and over and again. I think their industry is getting better. And I think that we are definitely identifying and as a problem, as I'm stumbling on this one, and I apologize. It's a problem that needs to be addressed, and I think it is being addressed. I think it is not being addressed fast enough for some. For others, I'm sure they feel like, holy crap, everybody's going crazy about this and they don't need to be. But ultimately, I think I'm pretty satisfied, and I think myself as a fairly moderate in terms of my thinking and my ways, that the industry itself is embracing women in the industry. You know, I won't say it as good as they can, but I definitely see them making efforts. And from a media standpoint, on the podcasting side of it, I have found more and more podcasts having women, especially on the professional side of it. You look at GameStops and you, or sorry, not GameStop, GameSpot, and you look at Joystick and IGN. You know, you're increasingly seeing a lot more women journalists taking part in their podcasts and their video podcasts and their outward media elements. And that's a good thing, because the more we get used to, you know, this equality in gaming, the more it becomes just norm. And at some point, this becomes a non-discussion because it's not a problem.
I hope we get to see
hopefully.
That day.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
I really do.
I would
I
like to...
the guys years ago who was on about racism and that. That's been stamped out a lot in a lot of areas. They must have been thinking the same thing. So what we're up against now, in 10, 20 years' time, hopefully, like you say, will be the norm.
Yeah.
Total equality.
And I don't want to say racism has been stamped out.
Well, I know, but it's a lot better than what it was, isn't it?
Definitely progressed. But, well, you know, again...
probably a bad analogy, but...
maybe a touchy one. Yeah. you know, and it's a touchy subject, you know, across the board, because, you know, this is about racism. It's about gender bias. It's about, you know, even, you know, your sexual orientation, you know, that comes into play. So it is really that, you know, we are in an industry and in a hobby that is this gigantic melting pot. And it truly is a melting pot of all different types of people that are converging together like never before. And we are, you know, basically being confronted, you know, oftentimes for a lot of people to situations that they're just completely not used to and are ignorant of it. And that's where education, like you said, Nicole, where education really comes to the forefront, and where we as parents, as teachers, as mentors have to educate our children. And eventually it does trickle in and set in, and these kind of issues become a non-issue. Now, I do have a much more lighthearted question to ask, because, Nicole, we talked about this earlier in the week. And I found it funny because you actually had indicated there were a number of people that men, I should say, men, male gamers, that prefer to play as women.
Yes.
In their games.
Yes, because that's our next question, actually.
Yeah. And my point to this, I think there's like a transgender issue there.
Yeah, I think he's poking fun, Greg. I think you're poking fun.
I don't know. Maybe, just maybe. Yeah, I've never.
We'll have to find out for the next question.
Yeah, I just put that out there. Do you maybe have transgender bias there, Mark? Huh?
I'm not saying.
We'll find out on the next B-side.
You're a woman, were you? Nudge, nudge, shove, shove. All right.
On the weekend, I'm called Maria.
All right. Nicole, anything else from the B-side, or should we put this to rest? Put the next question out there. Why don't we do that? What is the next question?
The next question? So you can pose any questions to me. Otherwise, I have to make them up, people, and they're never a good question. No, I'm serious. These are good questions. But you can pose a question to me and answer my questions at g4te.com or via Twitter at OC_Amaryllis and use hashtag the B-side. And the next question that we're going to be doing is, if there is an option to choose a female character, do you choose her and why?
All right, there you go. Answer, I have transgender issues. all right, we had a few tweets this past week. I'm going to blast through this stuff because we are running long in the tooth. We had a tweet from Mike Chin, that guy that was supposed to be on the podcast today, listening to the At Mojo Interactive podcast. We love you guys, Mojo Interactive. He said, I lulled when Big P deserted them for OC podcast. Good job, boys. Hey, any people that want to come over and listen to our show, I love it. I encourage it. But we do love our Mojo Interactive guys too. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Don't want to start a podcast war. We had Bongo the Sane chiming in. Plans afoot for the Eurogamer EGX pubcast. He's giving shout outs to the Boss Wave podcast, Marcanix, yourself, Verbal Rob, and Chris MJW.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to get together and do like a sort of like EGX special podcast, inter-community podcast, which will be shared between the Boss Wave guys and ourselves.
Awesome. Love it.
And maybe even if we can get Chinny and Stu roped into it, probably a VG collaborative as well.
I'm sure you can get Stu drunk and he'll show up.
I'm a bit worried now, though, because Bongo's offered to put me up in his hotel room and... He was tweeting about my hairy nipples recently, and
As long as he doesn't offer to share the same bed.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting worried about now.
Just make sure you have enough pillows.
Moving on to the next tweet.
Yes. moving on to the next tweet. I'm not sure we wanted to, but Gary Lever, he chimed in last week at OC Podcast at Bongo the Sane. You might want to fix your statement on the podcast, lol, because the Kickstarter was for period panties for my wife.
That's
made a big old smiley face. Yes. Then we had Courtney Lever, who's at Pebbles91010. She chimed in saying, yes, love them. They are unbelievably comfortable. I would recommend them to all women. So there we go. Finally, Bongo replied back in on this. A little too much information, but I have to agree. Pebbles wins Wife of the Month award. Yes. Absolutely, Gary, Courtney, well done. Courtney, you are a saint for even chiming in on that. that leaves us to our next speak pipe from somebody awfully familiar. I think we know him as Dorian the Game Age.
Yeah, DGM for short.
I almost called him Wobbly Knob earlier.
He goes by all. Fire it up, Mark.
There we go.
Hello, everybody. This is Parsnip Nose 3000, and I'm on somewhat of a recruitment drive. Well, when I say recruitment, really what I'm looking for is for all of you mature gamers out there to come and add your name to our mature gamers directory that I just added to G4TE. It was called Who's Who last week, and then I thought, well, you know what, that's not going to help anyone find us in Google. So I changed it. You will find it in Forum, in the Community category, Mature Gamer Directory for Older Gamers. If you go there, you can add your name to the list of Mature Gamer gamer tags, PlayStation Network IDs, Twitter accounts, YouTube accounts, Twitch TV users, all that sort of stuff. I'm sure there are a lot of you out there that I'm not following and that G4TE isn't following on Twitter or whatever, and it's probably, possibly, because we don't know you exist. and we want to know you exist. So come and add your name and come and have a look at all the people that are already on it. It's early days for these lists. They're all quite small right now. But I really would like to see these lists grow and for us to all get to know each other and for us to all eat mashed potato and soup and stuff together, because obviously none of us have any teeth. Okay, love you all. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta. Love you. Bye-bye.
Wait, we don't have teeth? I have teeth.
I've got teeth. I don't know. Thank you for that, Parsnip. Yes, sign up to the forums, all that good stuff. Amazingly enough, Parsnip just could not get enough of telling us stuff. Now, this actually, in fairness, is an email he wrote to us like 2 weeks ago. I completely forgot to read it. It was meant to be on for when you guys were on. So I'm just going to shoot off. This actually has to do with the Market Garden Achievement Award. This is the one from, now the game is escaping me. It was a Ubisoft game, Gearbox game. It was the Tell's Highway, and where you had to come back a year later to play the game to get the achievement. So here he goes. Hi, guys and gal.
Yeah, I'll be reading the games.
Yeah, it's hot out here. That's all I got to say. Hi, guys and girl. It was interesting to hear you talking about Remember September 44 achievement in Hell's Highway and having to wait almost a year to unlock it. There's a story behind that. Originally, the game was set to launch at the tail end of 2007, but was delayed until late September 2008. Unfortunately, it didn't release until a few days after September 17th, which meant we had to wait almost a year to get the achievement. The achievement commemorates the beginning of Operation Market Garden, which on September 17th, 1944, saw Allied troops enter the Netherlands in an attempt to reach Germany. Personally, I think dismemberable achievements out there. I love that it commemorates and, in a little way, pays tribute to those brave souls who risked life and limb in World War II. I wish more games had a little history lessons like this. It just goes to show how video games can be simultaneously fun and educational. That's it from me, Parsnip the Jovial Wizard. Yes, that's how we'll call him, the Jovial Wizard.
No, we won't.
I know. Yeah, I'm with you, Parsnip. I agree. It was a nice touch, and it was nice that they wanted to commemorate the Market Garden operation and the whole September 17th achievement. However, once they delayed the game themselves and created this fiasco, I just think they should have done a patch and unlocked the achievement for everybody instead of making us wait a full year. Just throwing that out there. It still angers me. I can't let it go. All right, we are moving on. We are fast forwarding. Nicole, upcoming releases. We've got a few.
Yes.
Let's go.
All right, Tuesday, July 29th, Firefall, released in American Samoa. Thank you very much. Europe and the USA for PC.
Nice.
I know, right? Rogue Legacy in the USA for PS4, Vita, and PS3. The Legend of Heroes, Trails. Is that Trail? Yes. Trials in the Sky. I can't read anymore. USA for PC. Lego Ninjago Nindroids in the USA for Vita and 3DS. The Last of Us Remastered, because apparently it wasn't good enough the first time. We had to make it look pretty the second time. USA and American Samoa for the PS4. Ratchet & Clank Collection for the Vita in the USA. And Pure Pool. Like actual pool. Sorry, that just threw me. It's like it's an actual pool game. Released in Europe for the PS4. Phantom Breaker Battlegrounds, USA for Vita. On Wednesday, July 30th, Pure Pool in the USA for PS4. Lego Ninjago Nindroids. Is that Australia? Yeah, probably. Okay. Sorry, no offense, Australia.
Who cares?
Who cares?
I think Chapstick cares.
I'm sorry, Chapstick. The Last of Us, also whatever that same flag is for PS4. Air Mech Arena, USA, Europe, and we're going with Australia for the Xbox 360. Lineage 2. What is that? It looks like urethra, but that's not it.
Earthia.
Earthia. Okay,
sure.
If you say so. USA for PC. And then we're going up to Friday, August 1st. The Last of Us remastered still. They remastered it a lot. In Europe for the PS4, Kick-Ass 2. There was a Kick-Ass 1? Europe for the PS3 and 360. I didn't think it was... Okay, whatever.
You go, girl. You go.
Lego Ninjago Nindroids. Europe for 3DS and Vita. Residue. Yuck. Ew. Gross. USA for PC. Sacred 3, First Edition. Oh, God, that means there'll be more. In Europe for Xbox 360, PS3, and PC. And then some other word I can't pronounce. Eidolon. USA for the PC. And that about wraps up the upcoming games.
Awesome. Excellent.
Thank you
for that most fantastic reading. All right, Mark.
Yep.
We've got some gaming stuff to tackle here. Yep. Now, Thursday, of course, there's still in the Forza 5 gate and track challenges. We do have the Trials Fusion challenge, though, going on.
Yep. I'll run through these quickly because I know we're running out of time here. So the winners for this last challenge, which has just expired, it was on Greenhorn Grove, Turbine Terror, and this is the one where Robbie kindly put up a £10 prize if anybody could beat him. So let's see if anyone can take his money. On PS4, in third place, we've got Vanquisher with 46.288 seconds. Second place, Urban Centaur, 44.822 seconds. And in first place on the PS4, it's Robbie, Manny Calavero, 43.744 seconds, ranked 43 in the world.
Jeez.
He's my favourite, Scott.
Yeah, he is. Xbox One, in third place, Terraform, with 45.529. IP was second with 45.461. And in first place, Steve-O-1982 with 44.896. So well done, Steve. So a lot of people were constantly being in the top three every week here. There's a pattern growing.
Yes.
Xbox 360. Womble MK3 was in third place with 45.845 seconds. Stulek 52 in second place with 45.077 seconds. And in first place, Jay Rambo, Robbie, 43.364 seconds, which is faster than his PS4 one. But on the Xbox 360, he's ranked 67 in the world. PC, Hardly Dan is in third place with 46.397 seconds. Womble MK3 is in second with 46.032. And in first place on the PC, our favourite Australian, not getting annoyed by Nicole's comments, Chapstickle 1 with 44.962 seconds, which is 252 in the world on PC, which is amazing. So well done, guys. So that means the overall winner is Jay Rambo. Robbie, who maintains his £10, and he's said he'll roll it over again for another week, another 2 weeks.
Nice.
So you've got another chance to take his money off him. For a Scotsman to take his money, that's a mighty challenge.
I'm going to give it my all.
So the next track, I don't know how difficult this is because I've just picked this up off the internet because I forgot to get a track, many apologies. It's Greenhorn Grove, and the track is Waterworks. So get your fastest time on Waterworks.
All right, done. Mark, we've got victories achieved to go through.
Yeah.
So again, this is falling on your shoulders because you could open up the document that I could not, apparently. So let's fire through those quick fire like.
Yeah, we've got 2 weeks worth, so I'll go through these really quick. We've got Bongo Vasane, who finished Another World 20th Anniversary Edition. Harley Quinn 103, Dead Space 2. I finished Assassin's Creed Black Flag. John Mouse finished Ticket to the Man. Pudlight finished Dark Souls 2. Companion Cube finished L.A. Noir. Amras 89 finished... Oh, God, come on, Amras. Putt-Putt enters the race. RCGC finished Sniper Elite V3. Gamergirl 27 finished Wolf Among Us Episode 5. I still need to play that. Bongo Vasane finished Valiant Hearts. J. Rambo 4 finished Watch Dogs. Amras 89 finished Yoshi's New Island. Amras 89 finished Walking Dead Season 2 Episode 4. Hardly Dan finished Walking Dead Season 2 Episode 4. Do them two live together? Companion Cube finished Super Mario 3D Land. And Chris MJW from the Boss Wave podcast finished Super Mario Land on the Game Boy. So he's well up to date, isn't he? So that's your victory chiefs for these past 2 weeks.
All right. Let us roll right into the whole Victor Chiefs thing, which is it's a contest where you complete a game, you take a selfie, and then you send it to @g4te.com, spell the dot, and basically put in hashtag victory achieved, tell us what game you finished, and then you get entered into a contest. It's real simple, and it wraps up within just a couple of days of this podcast, July 31st. Every entry gets you a $20 gift card for the PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam. So get them in while you can.
And if you keep an eye on the G4T Twitter as well, we are offering extra entries into this for doing some retweets on certain items. So if you see an option to retweet a tweet from G4T.com, it'll get you an extra entry into the draw. So keep an eye on Twitter.
All right. There you go. Even better. All right. Extra Life 2014 is coming up. TeamVGHub.net is at it once again, so if you're thinking about taking part in the Extra Life campaign, definitely sign up. VGHub.net on extralife.org. Nick Auld, I hope I'm saying that right, Nick. Yeah. It's A-U-L-D. I always have a problem with that. Auld, yeah. Yes. He was fantastically kind and gave us a code. It's a PC download code for BioShock, and if you want this, you got to enter into a little drawing. You got to tweet @OC Podcast and say, "I am PC Master Race, #G4TE. You send that to us, and you will get a chance at a downloadable code for BioShock. All right, we are quickly wrapping this up. SpeakPipe, this is a thing we do. You can send in voicemails like Parsnip did to us a gazillion times. It's speakpipe.com/the_OC. It's simple, 90-second message. You get to even edit it. You can dump. It's not overly complicated. It's simple, folks. You can also send emails to the show, podcast@g4te.com. You can tweet us @OC_podcast. And if all else fails, you can leave us an iTunes review, which we will happily ignore, but thankful, very much thankful that you give them.
I'm going to take care of those. I am going to go to iTunes and
like
I'm going to take care of those.
I've just seen the date it was last checked.
Yeah. It's been a little while. So, Nicole, you are in control of that now. I am going to start the shout outs. No Control 3, a big shout out to you. I finally added you as a friend on the Xbox 360. Sorry it took so long. And we'll get a game in this weekend. And shout out to the two of you for making it and bearing with my computer failures and all that good stuff. Nicole, go.
All right. To you guys, because even though we all came in a little damaged today, we have done a wonderful job. It is always good working with you. Shiny, you were missed. JD also. For Dean, thank you so much for letting us do the interview with you and for sharing your experience, because I'm thoroughly enjoying the interaction that we have, and that he is my favorite British action figure. He's not a doll. I called him a doll, and he's like, "What? I've been called worse," and I had to explain to him what it meant in American. And to the gentleman at that I met over at Bungie.net, Warsmith Hansu and R.H. Soja, thank you guys so much for your input. Thank you to everybody that contributes to the B-side as well, and to everybody out there, thank you for listening.
All right, Mark. Go.
I'd like to shout out Dean from Ragos Gaming for the interview and being such an inspiration for raising all that money. WombleMK3 for constantly helping me out with the Trials Fusion times every 2 weeks. So thank you very much for helping me out there. And I'd like to shout out Shiny's Wisdom Teeth for doing one and leaving him. Making a break for freedom.
Could you not have said that? I almost spewed my wine.
Making a break for freedom.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that does it. I think we are done. We're out of here. No Control 3. She's actually part of our forums.
Yes.
Yeah, I friended her on Xbox finally.
Oh, that's Donna.
Yeah. I don't know Donna. But she's like, it's about goddamn time, and I started laughing because it was like from like 12 weeks ago. But I didn't have any room on. She was trying to friend me through the Xbox 360, which I've been maxed out at 100 for the longest time. So I ended up like scrolling through and finding somebody and dropping them and then put her in, and then she's like, awesome, now let's play something. I'm like, I'm going to bed now. It's like 10:30. I'm old.
I can't say it right.
Tyler. Or Taylor.
Mm-mm.
What are we drinking? Pinot, Merlot, Cab.
Oh damn, my biscuits. Again, CAG. But what city?
Lucky
and
me.
I'll add you on my little thingy here. I like.
Who are you asking?
I'm asking him. I know where you live.
What's that? Is that me?
God's name is that. Yes.
Oh, bollocks. I've just opened a web page.
Please stop.
Right. I'm looking at some comparison videos.
Google. Wow, you look like really like you're in the 90s with the pixelation. And
oh, this computer sucks ass. But it does not get nearly as hot as my PC. I think one of my fans went out on my graphics card. I think that's the other part of the problem.
Yeah, you definitely, knowing what you do, need to invest in a new computer. Just saying.
I'm with you on that.
Right, did you have that achievement?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, right. Right, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear this?
No? Yes.
You heard the achievement?
Yes.
Right, yeah. I've figured out how to stop the echo. That echo was completely putting me off. I ended up going back to the normal mic and thing. That's, you probably noticed I started talking better. But having that echo, it just really puts you off.
Uh-huh. I believe it, yeah.
You know, it's like when you're in an Xbox Live party and you talk and you can hear yourself again immediately after. Right, but I've just figured out if I press this pass-through button, it turns that off. So it gets rid of the echo.
Oh, nice.
Different. I learned the British English. And so it's just my computer's screwed. I go to Cafe Press, comes up in pounds. I go to Amazon, it comes up in pounds. I'm like, it's not the UK! So I don't know what I did. I set something somewhere and now I'm effed. So I'll have to figure out how to go back to America.
All right. Well, I'm going to roll. I will talk to you guys later.
All righty.
I'll send you these sound files.
All right. Thanks,
yes,
Mark.
And okay. I'm going to go pee.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on now.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.